kind of send out some of the younger junior church to go with what we call the junior church. That's how the name has come about, so that's what it is. But we'll send some of them out, and then some of the older kids from the junior church can just stay in with us here in the morning service. We're going to have a couple of different things this morning, so it should be somewhat interesting for them, hopefully. I mentioned the Reeds. A few of us were able to be over at what was called the True Love Missionary Baptist Church on Tyerman in Detroit yesterday, and the house was packed, I thought, just tons of people there for Dwayne's brother's funeral. The youngest in the family, James Reed II, suddenly left this life, and several of those folks testified that he knew the Lord, so based on that testimony, we're thankful. That was last Friday night or Saturday morning that he left this life, and so we had the funeral yesterday. Dwayne graciously, he had a slot to speak, and he graciously said a few words and then invited me to come up and share in his place, and so he asked me to do that earlier in the week, and I said, absolutely, yes, I'd be happy to do that. So I was able to share a little comfort with the people of God there and a challenge from the Word for those that aren't yet born again. And by the way, if you're ever in that situation, that's what you do. You think, you know, you say, I'm never going to be in that situation. You never know. You might be the only Christian or the only vocal Christian that's in a meeting like that. I've had times when I've gone into a funeral home, and the funeral director recognizes me and says, there's nobody to speak at this funeral. Will you do it? Well, I didn't plan to, but yes, I will. I've been called to that kind of ministry. So you do two things. You comfort those that are saved, and you challenge those that are lost. Just remember those two words. How can I comfort those that are saved? Share something from Psalm 23 or some other verse that you know. Share that God cares for them, and that you can cast your burdens upon the Lord, and those sorts of things, share that with them the gospel, that a person who's saved is not suffering anymore, and those sorts of things. But also with the gospel, you can challenge the lost, and so that's what I tried to do yesterday, just briefly, and I was thankful that they allowed me that privilege. And many other speakers and other people talked. It was a two-hour service, and so it was quite something. But please remember the Reed family in your prayers. They actually were having an extended family reunion planned for this weekend, and many were up from Georgia and other places, and they had to change their plans a little bit, obviously, to accommodate this funeral. So just remember them in their time of grief and loss at the passing of James Reed II. For our scripture reading this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to have you turn to Matthew chapter 28. Pastor Neil has asked that we read this portion of scripture in preparation for his message this morning. Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to read the entire chapter for us so we'll have the whole context. Matthew chapter 28. The Word of God says these words, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice!' So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. and there they will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them, then they went. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I'd like to look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Father, it is with good reason that we read these words this morning, not only because they're in the Word of God, but we are convinced that as closing words of the public ministry of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, that they have a special weight of importance as they instruct us what we are to be about doing in this age. So we ask for your help to carry out that command which you have given. We would not be so proud as to say we can do this on our own. Father, we are humble. We want to be humble. We ask that you will help us recognize our desperate need for your work in our lives, just to live, but also to carry out this great commission. Father, I want to pray for our church family that you will help us in that outreach emphasis. And also, Lord, that you will help us as we minister to one another and edify and build up the body of Christ with our inreach, as our brother shared with us this morning. And I pray for some that come this morning with worries on their minds or hearts that are heavy with some trouble. May each and every one of us have a renewed mental perception of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the glory of God the Father and of the marvelous work of the indwelling Spirit. These three in one who are working in us to bring us to completion and perfection when we stand before the throne of grace, blameless in the latter day. May we have an exalted vision of you, our God, and of your Son who came to not only die in our place, but also to live a perfect life that we might share in his righteousness before you, and who has gone up to heaven and sent down his Spirit to live in us. May those kinds of thoughts fill our minds, and may we have great joy and delight in knowing that whatever the trials, the worries, the physical afflictions may be, that you, O Lord, are the God, the omnipotent, the Creator, the Sovereign of the universe. All these things are under your very precise control. Father, help us to find comfort in your sovereignty. And Lord, we thank you that you have loved us so that we need not fear that sovereignty in the sense that the unbeliever must and will when they face it at the final judgment in their lives. Now, Father, we pray that you will also watch over the ministries of our assembly to the young people, the ministries through the missionaries that we support. And I ask, Lord, that you will bless those missionary works in Africa and New Zealand and South America and France, and the names of the missionaries that we're associated with, you know so well, and many, many others. Prosper their work, we pray, in accordance with your good hand of guidance. Father, help us moreover, to be sin-confessing people, people who are concerned with purity in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions, in what our eyes see and what our ears hear and where our feet travel. Let us recognize, O Lord, that each and every day we should be confessing our sins and failures before You, thanking You for the cleansing blood of Christ that washes us continually to keep us clean. So, Lord, we pray with that in mind this morning. May this service purify us and strengthen us for every good word and work. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, gentlemen, would you come and take up the offering this morning? And as you do, I'm going to invite Emma to come and minister with her violin this morning.
Thank you.
Let's offer thanks to the Lord for the offering together, please. Bill, would you do that?
Lord God, we thank you because without Jesus Christ, we would be nothing. We thank you for this music entry, Lord, and we thank you that you are holy. And that any crowns we receive rewards are because of you, Lord. And we thank you for this time as we gather to learn more about you. Pray that you be with us this morning. Help us to block out anything that could be distracting us from your word. And that we concentrate on the preaching and teaching this morning. Thank you for these gifts, Lord, that have been used to spread the gospel, the good news of salvation, both near and far. Ask us in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. For our special music this morning, I'm going to invite Haneel and Naomi if they will come. I think their parents are going to help them a little bit here. If you could just come right up here and then they could be by this microphone and everyone could see them. Just don't fall off the edge, okay? Oh, yeah, sure.
Maayong aga. That's good morning in the Hiligaynon dialect. It's our dialect in the Philippines. It's a joy to be here with you all, dear brethren in the Lord. And I'm Joy Vilches. I'm the daughter of Pert and Mel Alparaki, missionaries to the Philippines. I know some of you remember them from being a part of your missions conference years back. And in behalf of them, we'd like to express our appreciation, our gratitude for your prayers for them, for the many years that they have served the Lord in the Philippines. So my parents now, they'll be traveling back to the Philippines on Tuesday. They've been here with us in March, when we came in March, and they will be retiring from the mission at the end of this year. And so by God's grace, the Lord has led our family to take on the work that has been started there in the Philippines, which is radio broadcasting, gospel radio broadcasting, and church planting in the Philippines. So we just praise the Lord for that. And when I reflect upon God's grace upon my life, I like to think about the psalm in Psalm 105, which says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And indeed, He's been very faithful to us. And I know many of you parents can relate to both the joys and challenges of rearing young children. And so that has been a challenge for me personally. And just a little testimony here. One morning, my son came up to us. Our office is right where their school is. They do go to a Christian school, but then there's a lot of students that come who are not in the Bible-believing faith. And so he came up to us and said, "Mama, Papa, I'd like to start a Bible study with my classmates." And so that was quite something to hear from him. And we really encouraged him on that. And for a course of several afternoons, his classmates would come to our office and they would have this Bible study, and Neil would help them with that. So we just praise the Lord for how we can see God's power at work in the lives of our children. You know, it's very challenging at times, but we can trust in His power that He is working in them. And also, I know it's the prayer of your hearts too for your children, that they would grow to love and serve the Lord too with all of their hearts. And so now they will be singing, sharing to you a message and song entitled "People Need the Lord." And we pray that this song would challenge your hearts again to the great harvest field that is around us, whether it be here in the United States or back home where we are in the Philippines or every place here in the world, that people need the Lord.
don't believe I heard that loud enough.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Now, if you were able to interpret the junior, whoever kids are supposed to go, they can go during this hymn. Let's stand together, please. Turn to hymn number 662. 662.
Song said, soon the time for reaping will be over. And that's a very important theme. You think of it eschatologically, when the Lord will return, that time for reaping will be over. But we also have a limited time in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. That time of reaping might be over as well for them. I know some people have relatives. They think, I've got to break down here and share the gospel with them. I've got to say something. I've got to do something. And they put it off and they put it off. And don't put it off, because you never know when that day may come where you or that other person, the time is over for them. So just an encouragement. It's one good thing to have for us to have missionaries in, because that helps us to remember. They give their lives to that service and that calling, and we should make that effort as well in our own lives. So this morning we have the privilege to have Pastor Neil Vilches, who is actually missionary Neil Vilches now. And so we ask him to come and share with us. He's going to have something on the computer, as you can see there, and then challenge from the Word and all of that. So I'm going to invite him to come. He's already shared in the Sunday school for those of you that were here with us. And we look forward to the Word, brother.
Good morning. Before I share the Word of God this morning, I would like to share to you an 8-minute video of the work of Christ for the Philippines there for the past 30 years. And it is our prayer that you will join us in reaping the Lord's harvest field in the Philippines, and at the same time to pray for us.
Thank you.
We praise the Lord for what He has done to the lives of the Filipino people. And we're excited to witness some more of His workings upon our people as we start our second term as missionaries of Christ for the Philippines. And our passion is planting churches through radio. And as what I've said, we are using the airwaves to plant churches. And at present, we are now in seven commercial and religious radio stations. And we have one broadcast. We call that our Children's Bible Hour in our dialect, the Ligaynon dialect. And the Lord gave us also the privilege to establish 11 churches, and 8 of those are independent. And right now we have 8 lending libraries, and we praise the Lord for pastors, for churches, and individuals who donated books for these lending libraries. And at present we have 1 children's resource center, and we're praying that the Lord will continue to prosper His ministry. And in our second term, our prayer is that we'll be able to establish 1 children's resource center and 2 additional lending libraries. So please be on prayer for that ministry there in the Philippines. Matthew chapter 28. And I'll be reading verse 18, 19, and 20. The word of God says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." May the Lord bless the reading of these scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. It is not sufficient for one to just come unto Him. That's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. But he needs to come after Him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Coming to the Lord Jesus implies salvation, to be a believer. While coming after to Jesus, or coming after Jesus, implies service, to be a disciple, to be a follower. Though coming unto and following after may have distinction from each other, but there should not be. Why? Because biblical belief is more than just mental assent. It is more than just a mere verbal acknowledgement. Biblical belief is a deliberate choice to obey, a commitment to willingly follow. Thus, a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ is also a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? That is because the Lord planned us to be a believer and at the same time to be a disciple. One author pointed out that Jesus, in the whole 4 Gospels, said, "Believe in me," about 5 times. But can you guess how many times He said, "Follow me"? That is 25 times. 5 times more. I'm not saying that one is important than the other. But what I'm saying is that these two are essentially connected with each other. Just like our heart and lungs, without the other, we cannot survive. Thus, to come is to come unto is to come after. To be a believer is to be a disciple. To be saved is to serve. Thus, this particular passage, commonly known as the Great Commission, we have here one of the last commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, if not the last command of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And it is interesting to note that this particular passage appeared four times in the Gospels and once in the book of Acts, repeated by Matthew. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And in Mark chapter 15, verse 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And also in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And also in John 20, 21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The fifth one, Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When our Lord uttered this statement, He was issuing the missionary task of the church. This is my task. This is your task. This is our task as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, the members of the family of God, the members of the body of Christ, the members of the kingdom of God, are being sent out by Christ to reach the whole world for Him. It must be pointed out that missions is not a New Testament concept. It can be traced back up to the Old Testament. The term missions has its full meaning in the New Testament, but its foundation can be traced back in the Old Testament. That's why for us to have a better understanding and appreciation of this missionary task, we need to dig deeper in the Old Testament. The roots are in the Old Testament, and the branches are in the New Testament. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we have here the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here the power of the mandate, the power of the command. He said, all power is given unto me. The power of the mandate here is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word here, power, implies or has the idea of right and might. Meaning to say, the Lord Jesus Christ has the right to issue this mandate. And not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has the might to issue this mandate. He has the right because He has the authority and the rightful claim to issue this command. He has the might because He has the capability and the power to execute and accomplish this command. Why is that? That is because the Father has entrusted unto the Son this task. And by His Father's power, He can and will accomplish this task. Meaning to say, the mission of the church will go on and will accomplish its purpose and design no matter what will happen. This mandate will go on and will accomplish its purpose. But the important question for everyone here this morning is this: will it go on with you or without you? Are we in this? Are we involving ourselves with this? Just as the Father has sent the Son, we are also sent by the Son. Thus, in some respect, the very authority and the very power received by the Son is now being delegated to us. He delegated this in three ways. Number one, He gave us the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be effective witness for Him. Human effort, human desire cannot accomplish this. we need the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Through the spiritual gifts given to us, we are equipped to fulfill this very command. Not only the Holy Spirit, but also He gave us His Word. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We have no other message to proclaim than the gospel message. Our methods may vary, but we have one message. We may use the internet, literatures, coffee shops, orphanages, the airwaves to proclaim the gospel message. But we all have one message, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, He gave us prayer. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, He commanded us to pray for more laborers to participate in His harvest field. Prayer moves God to open the doors of opportunities. Prayer moves God to give wisdom as to how to proclaim the message of salvation. And it is prayer that moves God to prepare the hearts of the reapers as well as the ripened harvest. So this is the power of the mandate, the authority, the right and might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly here, we have the program of the mandate. It is a worldwide mission strategy. In verse 19, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We have here the outline of our missionary task. One, go. Now the word here, go, means to traverse or to travel. It implies movement, an action. Meaning, listen to this, we are not to wait for people to come to us. Rather, we are to go to them. We are not to wait for people to come to us. We are not to wait our neighbors to come to us. We are not to wait for our office mates to come to us. Rather, we are to go to them. This command our sovereign King issued us: "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." We are being sent to the world. This is the battle order our great commander issued us. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, this is very interesting. What is the mode of the church here? What is the position of the church here? We are on the attacking position, storming the very gates of hell. To tell you, there is only one way for us to achieve conquest and victory, and that is to be on the offensive mode or position, not on the defensive. Further, the word here, go, means to depart, to leave, to cross boundaries, sociological boundaries, racial boundaries, cultural boundaries, geographical boundaries. It conveys the idea that missions, that is sending forth of authorized persons beyond the borders of the New Testament church and her immediate gospel influence to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is to win converts, to establish functioning, multiplying local congregations, must be engaged both in home as well as in foreign fields. Missions must be engaged both in home and in foreign fields. I happened to visit your website, your church's website. And what really strikes me is the fact that you have both the home and foreign missionaries. And the church is in the right track. Because one of them is neither less important than the other, nor should one should be prioritized than the other. Both home and foreign must be engaged by the church. Well, maybe a Christian will say, I don't want to participate in missions. At least I'm assured that I'll be going to heaven. And I don't care about missions. But you know what? You're losing something. A believer who doesn't participate in missions is like a player left in the bench watching his teammates in the field. He misses out the experience, the thrill, and the joy of playing, of what it means to be one of the players in the team. You will be missing out the joy of witnessing a person living in the kingdom of darkness, being transferred to the kingdom of light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the transformation, you will miss out that opportunity to witness that experience if you fail to join missions, participate in missions. Number two, he neglects his identity. Why? We are called salt of the earth, light of the world. Why is that? It speaks of contact. It speaks of interaction. And with this in mind, a person, he claims Christ as his Savior and Lord, and yet he failed to obey him in one of the most critical aspects of his life. He is like a salesman of Toyota cars, but driving a Honda. There is so much confusion. It creates confusion and inconsistency. Why? We are called to be salt and light of the earth. Number three, he prepares himself poorly at the coming judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? His commendation and rewards from our Lord will greatly affect it. He has little to present to the Lord. Go. The second one here is teach all nations. Now the word here, teach all nations, it means, this expresses the idea that we need to make disciples of all nations, ethnic groups, people groups. All the commands in this passage are connected with and are dependent on the command to teach all nations. One Bible scholar pointed out that there is only one major verb in that whole sentence. It's the verb teach all nations. The word going, baptizing, teaching are participles that modify the one main verb. The responsibility of the church in the world is to make disciples. Again, I would like to point this out. Our primary responsibility in the world is to make disciples. Meaning to say, if you share the gospel to somebody, and that somebody accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior through you, and then you let him out, according to one preacher, you're committing spiritual abortion. Why? You need to nurture him in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make him as a disciple. That is the very purpose of the church. To make disciples. That's why it must be pointed out that while the preaching of the gospel to all nations, ethnic groups, is our obligation, evangelism is just a beginning of the commission. Evangelism is just a beginning, and in itself is not the complete mandate. What is the complete mandate here? The end of this mandate, discipleship, is the end and fulfillment of this commission. Discipleship. Teach all nations. Thirdly here, baptizing them, teaching them. Now, both words, baptizing and the teaching, are participles governed by the imperative, make disciples. Thus, the gist of this phrase is this: make disciples by baptizing and teaching them. Now, here lies the program of our missionary task. We are to preach the gospel to all ethnic groups, to all the peoples of this world. But we are to disciple only those who respond to the gospel message by submitting themselves in the rite of baptism and by practicing a life of learning and obedience to the will of God. Meaning, we are to be inclusive when it comes to evangelism, but exclusive when it comes to discipleship. And lastly here, we have the promise of the mandate. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus closes this commission with this assurance: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a promise. When a church involves themselves in missionary task, the presence of the Lord is in their midst. When a believer makes himself available for God's missionary enterprise, His presence is there. We are not walking alone. We are not working alone. He is always with us. Always means all days. Days of strength as well as days of weaknesses. Days of successes and days of failures. Days of joys and days of afflictions. Days of prosperity. Days of poverty. Days of health. Days of sickness. Days of life. Days of death. We are not alone. This missionary mandate is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through these great commission passages. This should be our greatest concern. I read an article, and I would like to share this to you. The story reads, there was a story about a man by the name of John Corrier, who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. And in 1968, his sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on that farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet John kept doing what he was told, even after the farmer for whom he worked had died. 10 years went by, then a state parole officer learned about Corrier's plight, found him, and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man 10 years late. Would it matter for you if someone sent you an important message, maybe the most important message in your whole life, and year after year, this urgent message was never delivered? My point is this: we who have heard the good news and experienced the freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others who are still enslaved by sin. And are we doing our task? You know what? There are at least three things or three responses we can make out of this challenge from God's Word. Number one, do nothing for missions. But by doing nothing for missions, by not participating in missions, you are actually telling God that you are not interested of Him and His plan for you and for your church. Second, maintain what you have been doing for missions. If you maintain what you have been doing for missions, you're telling your church and your missionaries, missionaries, my church, hold the fort. Don't move forward. Hold your ground. Don't advance. Be on the defensive. But I think the best one is the third. Do some more, a little bit more for missions. If you increase your participation for missions, that is, spending more time praying for your missionaries, knowing more about them, their mission field, the people they're ministering, their unique culture, the challenges and opportunities they are facing, their needs, by supporting them more financially, or even visiting them in their mission fields. Maybe you want to escape Michigan winter this year. You're welcome to join us in the Philippines. By doing more, then you are advancing the cause of Christ. Then you're storming the very gates of hell. Then you are actively assuming your role in His kingdom. And by doing that, you are not only a believer, but a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not only coming unto Him, but following after Him. You are not only experiencing salvation, but you are also experiencing service. May the Lord continue to bless the ministry that He has given to us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Again, Lord, we ask and pray that You will continue to steer our hearts that we might feel the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we will respond and do more for Your glory and for Your honor. We ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve. Amen.
What's your choice? One, two, or three? His brother Neil has presented us with a very important message. God has been speaking to our church that way the last few weeks and months particularly, hasn't He? And brought it to another highlight this morning. I trust that you will consider how you can be involved in God's work as well. Whether that's being a radio preacher, a pastor, going to the field to help in any kind of number of ways, I'd like to encourage you to think about that. We've made that offer before and had some people take us up on it. Some of you could go to a field, spend a couple of weeks, help build a camp, encourage a church, help a missionary with their children. Just all kinds of different things that can assist. Some of you may be medical folks. We saw this morning they brought somebody with them to one of the islands there, like Jack and Jennifer Mitchell do, to gather a crowd that they could speak with about the gospel. So there are probably a million different ways you can be involved, but there's only one way you're going to be involved, and that's if you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to. by God's grace and by His mercy. Father, I pray that You will work in our hearts that way. Even as we sing this last song and spend the last couple of minutes together this morning in our service, I pray that Your Spirit will work in the hearts of our people, of us, and cause us to make some serious decisions about how we order our lives. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Dan to lead us in our last hymn, Face to Face. I think it's 676. 676.
Let's stand together, please, as we close.
Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkening between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. What rejoicing in His presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face I shall behold, free, I shall see Him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.